Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
This is the ZABEcast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Tuesday, March 10, 2026. How you doing, everybody? Brian Butch, special guest on the show today. We will talk college basketball, and you may be surprised at his take on mid-majors. Surprised and disappointed, as I was myself. But let's start with the National Football League and free agency, which got off to a crack-a-lackin' start, as Donkey would say, from the movie Shrek. Crack-a-lackin', wow. This is, to the best of my ability over the last hour, as I gathered and I typed and I checked and I fact-checked, this is an incomplete summary of all the things that went down on Monday. And I tried to arrange it in a logical, flowing, and news-wise, importance-first sort of order. So if I miss something, just know I sit and tape this at 9 o'clock and I've spent a lot of time on this today, and it's hard to fully synthesize everything. So let me give you the deets for those of you who are not paying attention. Tyler Lindenbaum was the belle of the free agent ball. The former Iowa center, who just back in May, so 10 months ago, had his fifth-year option declined by the Baltimore Ravens, broke the bank. He got a deal that makes him the new highest paid center in football with the Raiders. A deal that is going to be $60 million fully guaranteed at signing and probably $81 million when it's all said and done. Good for him. I'm dubious that any center is worth that much money. Now, that was just one of many big spending moves by the Raiders, who also have the most draft capital in the top 100 picks than any team has had in quite a while. They signed linebacker Quay Walker of the Packers, 3 years for 40. Linebacker N'Kobe Dean of the Eagles, 3 for 36. Wide receiver Jalen Naylor of the Vikings, 3 for 35. Defensive end Quitty Paye, P-A-Y-E, 3 for 48. And cornerback Eric Stokes, 3 for 30. It's a lot of money out the door. The Raiders are not effing around with old haircut boy and Tom Brady and their new coach. The Dolphins win the Malik Willis Derby. I put that in heavy, sarcastic air quotes. 3 years, $67 million, $45 million guaranteed. That is quite a bit less than the $30 million that was being reported. Like, he's going to get $30 million. Well, he got closer to $20 million, but still, It's a lot of money. Malik Willis has played 4 years in the NFL, has thrown a grand total of 155 passes. That's it. Six starts, six touchdowns, three wins, $45 million guaranteed by the Dolphins. Oh, and the Dolphins, because they released Tua, are going to have a dead cap hit of $99 million. Who's not happy about this Malik Willis signing? Who else than the number one Dolphins fan on the internet, Frank the Tank from Barstool?
Dolphins signed Malik Willis.
So they got into Tua, and they're bringing in Tua 2, the sequel. Tua 2, electric. pick. They give up draft picks for a guy who sucks. He's 2-2. He's the same quarterback.
I don't know, man. Tua had much more pedigree in college.
Could have given Quinn Ewers a shot. Could have given Quinn Ewers sucks, a shot.
Frank.
But nope. Doing the same mistake again. God damn it.
I'm sorry, Frank. I feel your pain, man. Oh, shit. The Falcons have signed Tua himself, not Tua 2, Electric Boogaloo, a.k.a. Malik Willis, but the Falcons have signed Tua to a one-year show-us deal. They now have two lefties on the roster, one with chronically bad knees, another with a jelly head. I'm sure it'll work out just fine. Somebody pointed out that signing Kirk Cousins to then draft Michael Penix to then sign Tua Tagovailoa has to be one of the funniest NFL personnel sequences ever. And remember this, when anyone in football tries to lecture you or me or the fans or anyone as to, well, we're professionals, we know what we're doing. Like Brandon Bean up in Buffalo, who pulled off that stupid fantasy football crack last year in talking to the media. No, it's not fantasy football. There are so many unbelievably dumb sequences of decisions by teams. It's hard to keep track of them. Alec Pierce stays in Indy. Shocker. Teams were throwing money at him. The Niners wanted him badly. The Commanders offered $30 million, but did not win the Derby. He stays in Indy for less than that. 4-for-116, $60 million, fully guaranteed. And this after the Colts traded Michael Pittman to Pittsburgh. More on that in a second. Daniel Jones is now holding out for $50 million a year from the Colts. He turned down, according to reports, a 3-for-100 deal, did Daniel Jones, who's coming off an Achilles injury. The 3-for-100 was in line with the Sam Darnold rehab contract. And he knows he's got the leverage because the Colts got nothing. When the Colts traded two number ones for Sauce Gardner, any plan B or even plan A at quarterback was out the window. And I just want to know, where's little old trust fund baby Carly Ursay with her headset and her cute dress and her notebook on the sideline? Should have fired that clown Ballard a long time ago. Now, back to Pittsburgh on this. So they acquire Pittman, Michael Pittman Jr. They have two wide receivers now in Pittsburgh, making a combined $60 million. Neither of them cracked 1,000 yards in 24 or in 25. They got $115 million defense, which is bottom 10. And they're waiting on a 42-year-old ayahuasca addict who goes on podcast to brag about an invisible wife that he claims he wants to look good for so she can, quote, fuck him all the time, unquote. And the Steelers just got the worst grades of any team in the NFL by the NFLPA, and their field sucks. How we doing? But Franco, Terry, Mean Joe, we're the Steelers. Also, somebody pointed out, so they drafted Kenny Pickett because he went to Pitt. Hey, he's from here. They hire Mike McCarthy because he's from the Pittsburgh area, and now they trade for Michael Pittman Jr. He's a Pittman. What is going on? Mike Evans goes to San Francisco on a one-year deal. Somebody, the power station hamstring resets are off the charts. Somebody had a picture of a barbecue chicken leg cooked so perfectly that the guy just had to shake it and all the meat fell right off the bone. And they labeled it Evan's hamstring when it gets next to that power station at the practice field. Travis Kelce gets one more year in Kansas City for $12 million. Wedding, by the way, is June 13th for Taylor Swift. It's going to be a private and very celebrity-studded affair. We'll see if any paparazzi can crack it. So $12 million, one more year for Travis Kelce in Kansas City. The receiving core that's left now is a little bit thin. Romeo Doubs is out there, former Packer. Brandon Ayuk, I don't know if he's technically still under contract with the Niners. He's gettable. Even Henry Ruggs, who's due to be paroled from prison for killing a woman while driving drunk at 110 miles an hour at 3 a.m., could be available and some team could take a chance. I saw a fake report that said the Browns were, quote, doing their due diligence. I then dug into it. I go, oh, this is a parody account. Blocked. Buffalo has added another Allen quarterback. This one would be Kyle Allen. So you got Josh Allen and Kyle Allen. Kyle, the former Lions quarterback who's been knocking around as a backup for a long time in this league. 2 years, $4.1 million. The Seahawks bring back Rashid Shaheed. 3 years, $51 million for the speedster and kind of specialist, but he brings a shiftiness and a burst that is truly one of one. I can see them paying a premium to keep him. This after losing their starting running back, Kenneth Walker III, to the Kansas City Chiefs on a 3-year, $45 million deal. The Commanders grab defensive end Odafe Owe, $25 million per. They desperately need help on pass rush. They get a guy. It's a lot of money. It's the biggest swing so far money-wise in the Adam Peters era in Washington. They also re-signed Marcus Mariota, 1 year, $7 million deal to back up Jaden Daniels, and they signed cornerback Amik Robertson from the Lions on a 2 year, $16 million deal. He was very low rated according to Pro Football Focus last year. I don't know how much you can put into the ratings for Pro Football Focus, but he was something like 123 out of 135 when it comes to corners. The Cardinals have already said they're getting out of the Kyler Murray business. No one picked him up on Monday. They've added, though, Gardner Minshew. 1 year, $8.25 million deal. He will back up incumbent Jacoby Brissett. What fun times in Arizona. Jacoby Brissett and Gardner Minshew. Two guys who've been knocking around as QB2s. Although Brissett played really, really well at the end of last season. Also, they grab wide receiver Kendrick Bourne. 2 years, $11.4 million. I just love the Bourne conspiracy when it comes to Kendrick Bourne. Rashawn Gary traded by the Packers to the Cowboys for a fourth rounder. This after the whole Instagram flip-flop earlier in the week in which Rashawn Gary realized, okay, I think I'm out of here. I better well say my goodbyes. He then took the post down. Packers trade him for something, so that's good. But they also lose Kingsley Enagbare, who leaves for the Jets on a 1 year, $10 million deal. He was a pass rush specialist. They had to throw Colby Wooden in the deal to get linebacker Zaire Franklin. And so now they've kind of just got on that defensive front. Parsons coming off his Achilles, or his ACL, I should say. And then Devontae Wyatt, who's solid, but I wouldn't say a game wrecker. Packers have a lot of holes on the front defensive front. The Panthers signed Kenny Pickett, the aforementioned Kenny Pickett, to a 1 year, $7.5 million deal. The Titans signed wideout Wandale Robinson from the Giants for nearly $70 million. 4 for $70 for Wandale Robinson? He reunites with Brian Daboll, who will be the play caller there. He'll team up with second-year quarterback Cam Ward and see if they can make something happen. The Texans have signed safety Reed Blankenship from the Eagles, 3 years, $24 million. The Saints were cooking, adding running back Travis Etienne, tight end Noah Fant, and punter Ryan Wright. A 4 year, $8 million guaranteed deal for a punter. That wasn't even the most egregious punter contract thrown out yesterday. Ravens free agent punter Jordan Stout signed with the Giants on a 3 year, $12.3 million deal. Makes him the highest paid punter ever. Somewhere, Ray Guy weeps in agony. Rest in peace. Super Sky Point, I looked it up. He died at 72. And then there's a bunch of other signings. They were names that I didn't know or think were important. You may say, I can't believe you forgot this guy. How come you didn't think this guy was important? Again, I can't list them all. I just tried to curate the notable names that you and I and most fans would kind of know. The Rams did pluck Patriot long snapper Joe Cardona to a 2 year deal, terms undisclosed. Don't know what long snapping pays, but probably pretty good money for a very specific trait. Somebody also tweeted, oh, yeah, can we just have agents now post these contracts or these deals on a website and then we can fire Adam Schefter and pocket his absurd $10 million a year salary? Here's what many tweets are showing, because these agents want their names and their agencies out there. Adam Schefter,
The Raiders are giving Quay Walker a 3-year, $40.5 million deal that includes $28 million guaranteed, per agents Kyle McCarthy and Todd France.
Great. Thanks, Adam. Also, good memes going around, such as a hand-drawn chart saying, friendly reminder as free agency begins in the NFL. Here's how it works. Free agent, two arrows. Signs with your team, next arrow. Love it. Signs with somebody else, arrow. Oh my God, for that much money? Hell nah. Somebody posted a picture. Tua Tagovailoa has put his house in South Beach up for sale. It's the Blue Medical Tent. $72,000, one bed, one bath, 29 square feet. 18731 Woozy Way, Miami, Florida. That's kind of mean, but okay, fine. Don't forget, the cap is up $100 million in the last 3 years per team. So guys are getting paid. Most of them most likely not going to make an impact, but we shall see. Check back 1 year from now, and we'll say, how did that work out exactly? More to come as well, as Trey Hendrickson, who's one of the bigger names out there, has not signed anywhere, and Kyler Murray is going to be sought after by a number of teams, even though buyer beware on him. Also, Kirk Cousins will be rattling around out there as well. More updates to come as the week progresses. It's college basketball time. Up next, my former morning show running mate, Brian Butch, color analyst for Wisconsin basketball on radio. We'll talk March Madness, mid-majors, and more with him next. You are listening to the Zabecast. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Beating him or...
Oh, beat him in a game one-on-one, absolutely.
No way! You beat your own... 5-year-old in one-on-one basketball?
Absolutely. Only way to do it. Got to teach them young. Nothing's given. Everything's earned.
Was it on the little Nerf hoop? Which one was it?
Oh, yeah, Nerf hoop. Yeah.
Nerf hoop, huh? Okay. Is he dunking on the Nerf hoop now or what?
Oh, he's dunking on me. Oh, yeah.
Does he ever say and one?
All the time. I'm going to put some videos out there coming up here soon.
I can't wait. Brian Butch has joined me here on the Zabecast, the rolling, sneaky open to talk college basketball. You know, Brian used to say to me all year long, don't sleep on college basketball. It always delivers. And this was in November, December. And I'm like, yeah, I got football to watch. Well, here we are in March, buddy. Here we are in March.
The actual saying goes, hey, it's very simple. College basketball always delivers. You just got to pay attention to it.
Always delivers, right. Okay. But we're now ratcheted up now that we're in March because we got things going on. So where do we begin? Let's start with the mid-major problem. There's a problem. A lot of these mid-majors are really good teams that if they got a fair shake, if they got a decent home and home, if they got neutral officials for one of the home and homes, they got a chance to beat the big boys. And the big boys don't want any part of these mid-majors if they don't have to. Is that the lay of the land? Did I accurately describe it?
Yeah, but here's the thing. The mid-majors should not complain as much as they do because they're lucky they're still in this tournament. If the bigger boys had their argument, they wouldn't even want them in. So it's really tough.
That is so disappointing that you are, because you are the color voice of the Wisconsin Badgers, a major, that your establishment view is shut up, Murray State, and enjoy the crumbs. That's your take.
No. My take is this. Like, I think what makes college basketball great is the mid-majors, is the Cinderellas. But with where we're going, you got to be careful about how much you're complaining, because in the end, know that the big boys don't want you in the party. They don't want to invite you. This is an eighth grade party, and they don't want the sixth graders involved. They want it just to be the seventh and eighth graders. They don't want the sixth graders.
So
now the sixth graders will bring some fun to it, right? Like, they'll bring some atmosphere to it. But I that is where that is my fear as far as where college basketball is going, is that the mid majors won't be included.
Why do mid majors upset Power Four teams? Generally speaking, how do they do it? Why do they do it?
Why do they upset them? Did you say?
Sorry. Yeah. Like, how is it that a school with a much smaller basketball budget, with much less acclaimed 3-4-star players, how do they pull these upsets, including in March in the tournament? How do they do it?
Yeah. They bang a lot of threes and they force a lot of turnovers.
Okay. And they force turnovers. Why? Because they're relentless defensively?
Relentless defensively. Maybe the offense is having an off night, can't find the rhythm against something that they're, going against. I mean, that's the reality of it, and it's what makes it great, but it's also extremely tough to have consistency. And I'm not ready to say we're done with the Cinderellas, but last year there were no Cinderellas.
Is looking even worse. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm worried about this year. So now if you have 2 years, is it a problem? We'll find out. If we go 3 years and there's no upsets, now all of a sudden NIL is taking the upsets out of it. And that's the question that I think a lot of people are going to have, including myself.
Right. Here you go. This is a tweet from a Action Network college football betting expert. The account is, this is such a great handle. I wish I had thought of it myself. You know what it is? @StepOnADuck. @StepOnADuck. Hey, did somebody step on a duck? That's from Caddyshack. It's a line you don't know, Butchie.
I
don't do Caddyshack. Okay. You do Cool Runnings, and that's about it.
Which is awesome. Yeah, Cool Runnings.
He points out that
Cool Runnings! Yes.
He points out that a strong 13-seed, 14-seed line is getting absolutely incinerated this week with Navy, UNC Wilmington, St. Thomas, Eastern Tennessee, and Belmont all going down in their would-bid leagues. So the tournament may be as chalky as ever, Butchie.
Well, and I think there's four really elite teams right now. I think it's Florida would be the one that kind of could go back and forth with UConn, right? Those are the two that are there. But the three that have been elite have been Duke, Michigan, and Arizona. Those three have been elite. Now, I've said 6 weeks ago, I thought this was a field that, there could be 12 teams that could get to the Final Four. I'm pulling back on that a little bit more now because I do, like I said, the three that have been elite. And then Florida's playing some really good basketball. I just think it's going to be tough to beat one of those one seeds. I really do in what they're doing. But ultimately, this tournament, it always delivers. It will deliver. I'm just really curious.
I want it to deliver a few upsets. I want it to have some shining moments.
I think your upsets.
The song doesn't go one chalky bracket. It played out just right. One chalky bracket. There were no upsets. Nobody sings that, Butchie. They want those shining moments.
Yeah, but I think your upsets will be. I think your upsets will be a 6-3. I think your upsets will be a 7-2. Maybe. I think those are your upsets. I don't think you're going to see a lot of 13s over.
Sounds like second weekend upsets to me.
Well, kind of. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Can we get into some dunking on Bruce Pearl? Where do you stand on a Where Do You Stand Wednesday? Wrong show. It got canceled. Where do you stand, Butchie, on Bruce Pearl?
I think Bruce was a hell of a coach. I think Bruce found ways to cheat the system a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Some were documented, some weren't, but okay. But I think the Miami of Ohio leaning into it now, Auburn does not deserve to be in the tournament. Like, they don't. And that is, it's his son coaching it, so he's going to go after those bubble teams to try to, you know, change the narrative a little bit. Here's the thing. The narrative is not changing whether the media talks about it or not. The committee knows what they're looking for. They know what the standards are, and they're not going to change because Bruce Pearl or anybody in the media gets out and talks about it. So for me, it's like, okay, I thought it was a good hire by CBS because you do need some coaches in there. They needed another one to fill when Jay Wright left. I thought, you know, it was a good fill.
By the way, where'd Jay Wright go?
I think he just decided it was done. TV's not easy. There's a lot of work that goes with TV. TV's easier than coaching, but there's a lot of effort that goes into what you're doing to actually be prepared. Now, is Bruce going to do that? That's the question.
What is easier than television relative to the salary?
Radio.
Okay, you got me on that one. All right. But in radio, though, you've got to be the product, but you've got to be the entertainment. You've got to be the court jester. You've got to bring all the energy, all the ideas, all the execution. Television, there's a whole team of people, and you're not really the product. It's highlights, it's discussion, it's a bunch of different people. But that said, here was Bruce Pearl absolutely mangling two names in a 13-second clip. Take a look.
Iowa women's basketball, no superstar Caitlin Smith, no Hall of Fame coaches, C, Vivian Stringer, you're right, Caitlin Clark, or Lisa Bunder, but Jan Jensen.
All right, yeah, where'd it go? Where'd it go? No Caitlin Smith, huh? And no Lisa Bunder? It's Lisa Bluder, and she retired, didn't she?
She retired. She's doing. She's actually working for Big Ten Network now, calling some games, doing some stuff, but she retired, yeah. And I heard Caitlin Smith is really good, though, too. I heard she's good, you know, I mean.
She's another Caitlin. We'll take the best Caitlin available. Is she like Caitlin Clark? No, not at all. No, but she's named Caitlin, so there's that. By the way, why did Auburn was Auburn expected, even with Stephen being handed the keys nepotistically by his daddy, were they expected to be as good as last year?
Not as good as last year, but they were expected to. I mean, contend to yes.
Yeah. All right. What did you make of?
That's the problem with Auburn. It's like their defense is terrible. It's some of the worst in the country. So. Yeah.
What about Kentucky? Because I know you're big man positive, and you were happy to see Mark Pope succeed in year one. Then they poured a lot of money into his program, and they ninth place. I did not know this, Butchie, that Kentucky has not finished as low as ninth ever in the SEC. Ever.
No. So I talked about this on the Field of 68. I've been joining that here recently, and it's been awesome.
Look at you, the Field of 68. That's the podcast hosted by.
Jeff Goodman and Rob Dallas are the ones that kind of started that, but now they've got a bunch of guys that contribute to it, like myself and Drell McNeil, and I mean a bunch of Tyler Hansbrough, John Henson. I'm missing a bunch of guys, but it's a great college thing. They go on Sirius XM every night from 10 to 11 Eastern time. Then the pod is up. We do an afters. I've really enjoyed it. It's been fun to get really nerdy basketball, college basketball talk. But
by the way, that's a great product for people that this month that are really getting into it to listen to Field of 68. Okay.
Yeah. The other good product is Butchie's Den too. So make sure you subscribe to that YouTube channel. If you want something, we've got some stuff there.
Yeah, no, Butchie's been putting out good stuff. He's putting out lists. He's been putting out anecdotes, like the time that Bo Ryan did his
Hamble, what'd you see? Hamble, oh yeah.
Funny thing is about that clip, you got him on. I was like, I thought Butchie kind of hated Bo Ryan from back.
Go to Butchie's Den and you'll hear the whole 30 some minutes, and it was great. It was real. I just sat down with Greg Gard today, and we talked about a lot of things, and it wasn't necessarily about this team, but it was just kind of big picture stuff. And that's what you're going to get there. You're not going to get any other interview like that, because I'm the player that played with those guys, and it's different than the Mr. Media. Let's sit down and have a conversation. Like, it's not that. But Kentucky offensively has been terrible. And I mean, for supposedly what they spent was $22 million. Dickie V said, he goes, for $22 million, you should have better players, baby. Which there's some truth to that. Mark Pope was great at BYU because the offense he ran was elite. right now, offensively for Kentucky, they're not running that same stuff, and they're struggling. It's getting stagnant. It's hard to watch. And that's why they can guard them, and then they're not going to be elite defensively. And that's why you look at where they're at, ninth in the SEC, and it's not what everyone expected with the budget that was given to them. Let's put it that way.
Do they double down and spend more next year, or do they rethink who they spend money on, and how much of this disappointing Kentucky team is gone next year?
Well, they re-spent. I mean, they're going to double down because everyone's doubling down. The budgets are now going to go up from what they were this year. It's just kind of where we're at with college basketball until something changes. But when I look at it in this Kentucky team, like they're going to go spend. They have to evaluate better. And you've got to get guys that are going to fit what you're trying to get done.
By the way, did you see where apparently the $40 million football team is now going to be a thing? That Ohio State blew everyone's doors out of the water this year with a $25 million team. Say hello to the $40 million team.
Well, that's what I mean, because right now that's where it's at. Everyone's budgets, whether it's basketball or football, they're going up because there's no control over this, and that's the problem.
Yeah,
like
it's a runaway.
I mean, it is. It's. I know budgets for basketball.
Right here on the podcast, I said college sports is in a doom loop right now, where until somebody provides a circuit breaker, there's going to be some schools that literally go deep into the red if they aren't already. Oh, by the way.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and they'll get out of the red. They'll get in the red because the boosters are going to give to the programs and not the university. Like there's only so many people asked that can help that much. But that's where we're at. So I just think it's, let's just put it this way. Enjoy March Madness because we don't have to talk about the NIL. Like enjoy the basketball that's being played and enjoy your moments.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So let's talk guard for a second. Another phenomenal year of coaching by this incredibly underrated coach. I think him, Painter, who else is in that category of all overlooked great D1 coaches? Not the pedigreed show ponies at the super elites. I'm talking that category just below. Now, Painter took his team to the mountaintop and fell just short a couple of years. Yeah. So that maybe that's not a good comparison. But damn it, guard has been getting her done.
I would say Chris Collins is in that at Northwestern. He's a guy that keeps, obviously not a great year, but like a lot of it becomes budget wise. But like I said, when I talked through with Greg today, I said, Greg, one of the things that you don't get nearly enough credit for is your transfer portal hits. And I go, it's not because they were transfer portal hits when you got them. I go, you somehow found a way to coach these guys up for 1 year and make them a lot better. Nick Boyd was good. Nick Boyd now, after a year with Greg Gard, is great.
Boyd,
John Tonjic, San Diego State, was first with FAU, went to the Final Four with Dusty May in that group, then went to San Diego State, and now obviously Wisconsin. But you look at this group, like John Tonjic for Wisconsin wasn't even in the starting lineups for the exhibition games. And look at what Greg got him to do. Austin Rapp's another guy. If you're
Tonjic came from St. John's?
No, that was A.J. Storr. A.J. Storr, same thing from A.J. Storr, though.
Storr came.
John Tonjic was Missouri. He was hurt and then came through. So that helped at Colorado State, Missouri, Colorado State kind of combo deal there.
And this year, Malachi Coleman is another guy. He got him from Minnesota, and I remember seeing him tweet, y'all said I was
Braden
on the team.
Braden Carrington.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking at sorry, I Googled up the wrong thing. That's a football guy. Carrington was on Minnesota, and he's been great for you guys, and he was supposedly no good at Minnesota. I remember him tweeting that.
Correct, yeah. Well, that's what they tweeted. Not them, but the fans. Braden's been great. He's come in and really shot the ball well. And I think a lot of it's confidence, right? Like you give guys confidence. Confidence is something you cannot evaluate. There's no analytics to it. There's no numbers to it. But if you build and pour yourself into a guy and now all of a sudden they start believing in what they can be, now all of a sudden the sky can be the limit for what they can do. And I think that's what Wisconsin has done a really good job of and continues to do.
Yeah. I kind of pulled a Bruce Pearl there. I talked out of my ass and then I forgot the name of the guy I was thinking of and I Googled it and I Googled the wrong fucking guy.
But Kalen Smith is really good, though, too. So it works.
Exactly. All right. How do you feel about when we get to the tournament, NBA guys like Kenny, Chuck, and company sitting there talking about a sport that you and others have been all over since October?
It's hard, But this is where I'll say it's not like, but because of their names, they bring more attention to it.
Okay.
So if Charles says something, the common fan that really doesn't pay attention is going to pay attention to that. Now, whether it's right or wrong is a different story, but it's going to bring more eyeballs to college basketball. And if any way that we can continue to expand the game, I'm for that. I will say this, the addition of Robbie Hummel and what they've done to kind of move him along is fantastic because Robbie's going to be able to talk the game, see the game. He's done so many college games that there's a voice within college basketball that is really good at what he does. And he's also seen all the games, which is only a good thing for the game. Now, if you can get guys that are excellent at what they're doing, watch. That's why Raft is so good. Raft does how many games at 80 some years old? Like, it's amazing. Like, it's amazing, but he also sees it.
Yeah. So. Raftery is the best. Duke has just completed their 150th week at number one in the AP Top 25 poll. That's incredible. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's total, right?
Total, yes. Did I speak consecutive? Yes. 150th time they've been ranked number one. Not consecutive. Consecutive, that'd be pretty impressive.
I was going to say, now we got a whole different conversation. Right. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. Like the program and what they've got and how they've done it. I mean, they continue to be elite for sure.
And so that's the thing. Like, a lot of people thought, good, Ratface K is out. It's about time for Duke to get to sucking. Because, you know, when Carolina lost Dean, they kind of wandered around and stumbled around with some bad coaches before they got rolling, right? So even the mighty can fall. Duke has not fallen. How is Shire doing it?
Well, I think part of it, John, was the guy there recruiting the guys that doesn't hurt.
Right.
So now all of a sudden you get the guys, you have the finances to be able to do it. You've got the relationships to be able to do it offensively and defensively. You look at what he's able to do. They've got the systems in place to be successful. And so I think that's how they're continuing to do it is, I mean, when you look at his, it helps when you go get a Boozer, you know, who's going to be player of the year as a freshman. Like that doesn't hurt. So I think that's a big part of it though, but he understood what was in place. Sometimes when you replace a legend, you don't necessarily know what was in place and you're trying to find it and it's not always equaling it. Here, John knew exactly what was working at Duke and what will work at Duke, and he's just continued it.
Yeah. So I'm watching the Duke Carolina game with the family at dinner time on Saturday night. And my daughter Megan, who very light casual sports fan. I have failed, by the way, in my parenting to not infuse her with a fanatic love of sports, but that's okay. She rolls differently. But she's watching, and she became enamored with this tall white guy on North Carolina, where she's like, damn, that boy tall. Like, look at him go. And she was kind of like giggling, and he would make a play or two. And then she uncorked the line, Butchie, that I will remember for a while now. She said, he looks like he's got a lot of family members who own ATVs.
Oh, really?
I said, man, what the hell does that mean? She goes, he just does. He looks like that kind of a guy.
And what does that mean?
I don't know. That he's kind of a redneck, basically.
He's he's somewhere from overseas. Henry Vesser.
Is that who it is?
I'm pretty sure.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Henry Vesar, two E's, two A's.
Vesar, sorry, Vesar, yes.
7 foot tall, can shoot it as well, springy, long, and wait till I tell him that he doesn't own any ATVs, he's from Europe.
No, he's from Europe. There's no ATVs there. She's going to be devastated.
All right. Good to run with you again, Butchie. I know you got to go get your beautiful daughter at school. Butchie's Den, YouTube, great place to catch him. Also, make sure you catch Field of 68 as Butchie's on it quite frequently. And, brother, we will catch up down the road.
We will. I'm looking at doing, if the Badgers do not get to the Big Ten tournament, I'm looking to do a little NCAA tournament breakdown. So hopefully you can jump on for about 10 minutes. We're going to run through
bracket breakdown on Sunday
bracket
night.
Bracket breakdown. Yeah, we're going to go for about an hour and a half, go live with it, talk through it, have guests that we're going to run through. We're going to get some Badger coaches that are going to jump on. Hopefully you can jump on, and we're going to try. We're going to have –
I would offer nothing. I'll watch it, but I'm not coming on. I know nothing.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, you will. It's okay. I know your number. I will hound you. I will track you. I will find you. I will find you, and I will bring you on.
Down, you son of a bitch. All right. But you're the man. I'll talk to you, bud.
All right. See ya.
Just to follow up on the whole mid-major discussion, NIL has really, really done a number on Cinderella. For example, this is David Purdom on ESPN.com. He writes, in college basketball's NIL era, the whole anything can happen vibe of March is fading, and it's fading fast. The shocking upsets are decreasing, and fewer double-digit seeds are surviving. Last year's men's tournament produced only 13 outright underdog wins, tied for the fewest since the field expanded to 64 teams in 1985. The Elite Eight was composed of only top three seeds last year, tying it with 2007 as the chalkiest quarterfinal round in the tournament's history. Also, for the first time in modern tournament history, there's been three straight tournaments without multiple double-digit seeds reaching the Sweet 16. The only double-digit seed last year to advance was number 10 Arkansas, with John Calipari, which is not exactly, as Purdom writes, a small conference upstart feel-good story. Coaches around the country are saying, look, for us mid-majors, it's not just that nobody wants to play us. The big boys are scheduling either quad one or quad four games. They're skipping, for the most part, quad two and quad three. They either want a really good opponent that'll help their numbers at the end of the year, or they want an easy guarantee in a quad four. Don't be a quad two or a quad three team. You're going to have a hard time scheduling up to quad one. Also, many mid-majors are admitting, look, we market our program as a, hey, this guy came here, now he's at Kentucky. This guy came here, now he's at Michigan. They're marketing themselves as lily pads to hop to Power Four conferences, which means the continuity that used to go along with the mid-majors of five guys who've been together for 4 years, and they really know they can see each other cutting to the basket in their sleep. And that's how they carve up the bigger boys. Well, that's gone away as well. Some more depressing numbers for you from this Purdom story, ESPN.com. The betting markets reflect the wider gap between the haves and the have-nots. In the 2021-2022 season, non-power conference teams were 16.3-point underdogs on average. 16.3 points per average underdogs. Now that gap has risen to 22.9, nearly a six-point swing in point spreads in just 4 years. Not good. Final quote on this, the basketball at the top is better than it's ever been, says Ken Pom. People will miss Cinderella runs, and I don't think they're going away completely, but it's single elimination basketball. It's still amazing theater. Yeah, but it's a little bit shittier because March Madness and Cinderella's were the secret sauce. You can still say it's a meaty hamburger. It's good basketball. I think I speak for a lot of people in saying the secret sauce is what made this thing insanely great. I fear that it's slouching towards merely, pretty, pretty good. I'll still watch, and we will be out in Vegas for the Sweet 16 coming up in 2 weeks from Thursday. Full itinerary is coming. If you did sign up to be part of Zay Vegas, just reach out to me and confirm, and I'll make sure to get your name and your email, and I'll email blast everybody, and we'll get a good plan in place. We'll have a great time. The hats are in. They look amazing. Thank you, Sean Marefka, for that. So it's coming, baby. It's coming.
Thanks for listening. Rate and review. Tell a friend. As always, I appreciate your support and listenership. Have yourself a great Tuesday or any Tuesday you want, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.